Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Bonnie North. The International Joint Commission, or IJCA, was created by the Boundary Waters Treaty that was signed by the United States and Canada in 1909. The commission is tasked with preventing conflicts between the two countries' shared waters, which includes the Great Lakes.
Last week, the IJCA released a paper that lays out five action steps designed to assist the two countries as they coordinate efforts to keep toxic flame retardants out of the lakes.
Lana Pollock chairs the U.S. section of the IJC. She told Lake Effect's Susan Bentz that it's critical to address the dangers that flame retardants represent to both the Great Lakes themselves and the people who share their waters.
It's important to individuals, I'll tell you that, as consumers. I was just talking to my niece who has small children, and she tells me what she goes through to try and figure out how she can buy pajamas and things that do not have, as she said, those terrible chemicals on them. So consumers need more information because people who are aware know they want to avoid these chemicals coming in contact with their children, and people who are not aware should be so they could protect their children better. So this has been more than a decade of very active effort to eliminate or modify these chemicals, these flame retardant chemicals. I remember battles going back around the 2000-year mark, and at that point, the environmental community was already very concerned, and maybe much earlier. It's my understanding, and has been, that there was some fabrication of the level of danger that was promoted by the industry who made the chemicals. So that takes us to our report, which one of the recommendations is to have a better understanding of what the flammability is. What are the risks? Are these things even needed? And when you're talking about the clothing and the upholstery. Now, there are other products where there are definitely flammability issues. That's the electronics, the plastics in them. So there's a range of toxicity, but there's also a range of flammability. And what our report asks for is that legislation incorporate a better understanding of the true dangers of both not having similar chemicals or having them. There's conceivably dangers in both ways.
I read that part of the reason that the IJC is issuing this letter, this report right now, is that they hope to influence the two governments as they draft a binational strategy. So are there regulations at all in place?
They're a hodgepodge.
Yeah.
So there are state regulations, there are provincial regulations. It's a real hodgepodge. And there are programs that are not regulatory, but are educational. They have return the product elements to them. So it's a hodgepodge.
So the IJC is calling for some very straightforward strategies, public education, clear labeling and barcode scanning, and I think it's also calling for research.
That's true. We want research, better research, more research. The disposal, the recycling, the disposal, the management of these chemicals that are already out in the system, ultimately you're going to try and reduce or even eliminate them entirely. But we know that the products are in the system right now. Frankly, we put a great deal of responsibility on municipalities who are largely the level of government that ends up being responsible both for trying to dispose of products or recycle products, or alternatively, to draw water and treat the water clean enough for people to have contact with and to drink. So a great deal now falls on the municipalities, but it is really at the federal level and the state level that we need to have collaboration, coordination, and some sort of integration of protections. And I always say that one man's regulation may be another man or another million people's protection. Protection regulations are the flip side of the same thing. So what regulations are needed in order to get adequate protections? That's the question that we ask our governments to address, and we ask them to address it in an integrated binational fashion, because surely it's not just the waters that are shared, but it's the products that are moving across all sorts of boundaries, and the public needs to have this information without regard to where they live.
The report mentions the recommendation that an extended producer responsibility program be created. What does that mean, and what could it do?
Well, there are some extended producer responsibility programs already in place. Overall, it means that the producer of the product would retain some responsibility for the entire life of that chemical. So if somebody makes a product that goes into whether an electronic or a device or a clothing item, if that ends up in the lake, in the strictest sense of an EPR, extended producer responsibility, there could be financial liability, legal liability, financial liability. But there are many steps in between imposing that strict liability on the manufacturer, the producer of the chemical, or the product in which the chemical is used. And one of the intermediate steps, for instance, already in place in some for some products, is take-back. So if I have a cartridge or an electronic device, or in another case, a tire, in some places, the seller has to have a system in order to take this back, because I, as a consumer, don't have a safe way to dispose of it. So that that's an intermediate step of EPR, extended producer responsibility.
About 8 months mm-hmm. ago, you and I talked about a report that the IJC issued. It was a 3-year review of the Great Lakes water quality situation.
Yes.
Can we
link those two?
Yeah.
Absolutely. One of the findings of the IJC in that report was that there's a disappointing progress in the requirement that the two governments identify what's called CMCs, chemicals of mutual concern. They were to identify what these chemicals were, and they were to also come forward with programs, integrated programs, that would reduce, if not eliminate, the use of these chemicals, the exposure of these chemicals, which the governments would have identified as undesirable. So one of the weakest parts of the 3 years that preceded this report was the governments had come up with just a couple of identified chemicals, and we know there are many chemicals, contaminants, pollutants, and have impacts on human and ecological health. So the list was very short then. Since then, the two governments have identified this class of chemicals, PBDEs, as a chemical of mutual concern. They're in the process and in the public hearing process of taking information on what they should recommend in terms of reducing these chemicals into the environment. And the IJC's letter report here today is very much on point. We're advising them of some steps that they should take and incorporate into their government programs to reduce these elements in the environment.
The IJC is making 5 recommendations. Are they all of equal importance in the IJC's mind, of all 5 should be implemented by the two governments?
I don't think you can have a successful outcome if you don't implement all 5 of these. For one thing, the first few are looking at the need for consistency across the various jurisdictions. And so this is addressed not just to the federal governments, but very much so also to the states, to the provinces, to the tribal governments, and all of them say that if you fix it in Wisconsin, but you don't fix it in Minnesota or Michigan, you really haven't fixed it, or in Ontario. If you fix it in Ontario, but you don't in Ohio, you're not there. So that calls for that kind of consistency across jurisdictions. And those things are on the flammability standards of products. People should know how flammable those products really are, the toxicities We need to know what the toxicity is. And then there should be some consistency in recommendations or regulations, protections, when they redesign products, because there's a lot of ways to redesign products that you might not even need these chemicals at all. So there's that. Like I said, you have to have consistency. It has to go into the flammability as well as the toxicity and into the design of products. And the other thing is that you have to really inform the public. The public has to have easy access to the information. As I told the story of my niece, who was really very informed and working hard to try and understand what she was exposing her children to, and she was very frustrated because that information was simply not there. That needs to be there for the public. And then the disposal. We know there are products with these chemicals in them. They are largely falling to the municipal governments to deal with them, and that's a heavy lift for the governments. We need research. They need support. What do we do with the products that are already in the system? How do we protect against that? That's in the water, largely. And then finally, the ultimate answer is some sort of extended producer responsibility program, so that going forward, interests that we're thinking that this is the best and maybe the cheapest way to protect against real or imagined flammability concerns know that if they use these toxic chemicals, they will retain some responsibility for the consequences of those chemicals ending up exposing people in the environment. And I'd say all of those things are necessary. Like we like to say sometimes, it's complicated, but it's not impossible.
The last time we spoke, the conversation about Great Lakes water quality, one of the comments that stuck with me is looking at what ends up in the Great Lakes that has no business being there.
It's prevention. We are stuck with chemicals that are in the water right now, and we need to research and apply and invest in ways to protect ourselves against that. But more than ever, we need to prevent them from going in the first place. And virtually always, it's cheaper to prevent than to try and remove and clean. And EPR, Extended Producer Responsibility, is an acronym that I hope will become much more in use and much more familiar to the consumers as well as the producers.
Lana Pollack chairs the U.S. section of the International Joint Commission. You can find links to the commission's action paper and new report at wuwm.com. Pollack spoke with Lake Effect Susan Bentz.